taking now the scriptures. Would you turn with me in them to 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we are reading verses 18 through 20. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. And let us go now to the Lord first in prayer. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that through your Son you have spoken to us this, your eternal word. We ask that you would grant the Spirit now to give us that illuminating light upon our minds and hearts, that we would see with our eyes and hear with our ears and receive with our hearts your perfect word, which is pure light. Shine it into the dark places of our hearts. Shine it into the dark places, those places which are completely dark, the souls of those who are far from you. And for your people, we ask that you would give us assurance of salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, these are the words of our God. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Now, these are the words of God. Now, once again, John is addressing the people of God with that calling to you, little children, children of God, children in the faith. He's speaking to all saints, all those who have believed the gospel. And then immediately upon reading these verses, we want to most likely draw our attention to the words of the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Who is coming? What is an Antichrist of which many have appeared? But the fact is, those questions are not the main focus of these verses. They're legitimate questions and yet not the main focus. Remember why John is writing, so that you would, who believe, would know that you have eternal life, that you would have assurance of salvation. He's writing for that purpose, if you have truly believed. And so that's the focus of our passage. Here he gives you one more evidence that you are a true believer, Christian. Verse 20 is that verse. But you, little children, have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. That's the key to our passage before us. Verse 20 is our security. Verse 20 is our comfort, the comfort for the Christian at least. It's our security against apostasy and desertion that John speaks of in the verses before that. We live in a day of perilous circumstances, a day of that John is saying that many antichrists have already appeared. For we live amongst a world that is aligned with the devil himself and not with God. Verse 18, we live in a day which is considered the last hour. That was true in John's day. It is still true today. John's day was right after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it extends until this very day, until Christ returns. It is considered the last hour. It's also considered in other places the present evil age, or the millennium of Revelation 20, or the tribulation period spoken of throughout the Scripture. And so the warnings are not to be postponed here about the Antichrist coming or many Antichrists having already appeared. The last days are upon us, as it was also in John's day. We know this from the very fact that there is a prevalence and growth of the very sort of opposition to Christ termed here as many Antichrists have appeared. But in thinking of that Antichrist, as it literally says in the original, just as you heard, that the Antichrist is coming, there is a definite article there, the Antichrist. We do not need to set up or determine who that Antichrist is, though many have attempted to do so. Some of you have thoughts about this. At least here, that must not be our concern. It's definitely not of huge importance to figure out exactly who the Antichrist is. We also need not to fret or torment ourselves about the church's future with the Antichrist in view, or with many Antichrists who have appeared. Because Christ is Lord of all, and He is ruling over all, and that's the message of Revelation. That Christ is victorious, and the church in Christ is victorious. And so the whole of that revelation is a testimony of how Christ and His church are victorious over all evil. So no need to fret or worry about such things. Especially we need not worry about who the Antichrist is so much, because we have enough Antichrists around and beside us now. And that's what John is giving some evidence of. And they are very near to you, close by to you, beloved. Some within the visible church, the covenant community. For some of them, the most holy among us could not identify between them and true believers. As we see in the passage, they have gone out from us. Those words there, they have gone out from us, is indeed a proof that there are some still among us who are not really of us. The very fact, however, makes it plain that they who are still among us are not all of us. That us being the visible church throughout the world, and yet we ought not to come here and say, well, that's not our congregation. It can't be our congregation. No, we are part of the visible church. We are part of the church throughout the world, the visible church. That is, those who profess Christ and who've been baptized. There's a difference in the passage described here, though. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know. That is literally, it says, you know, you all, that's a plural you, you, plural, know all things. That's what it's saying there. You know all things. And so because this is for your assurance, there's no need here to go into the nature and character of the coming Antichrist or the Antichrist who have already appeared. We can simply say that the Antichrist and Antichrists are all in opposition to Christ and His church. Now let us here dwell upon the grounds of confidence for the Christian, as we are called to do here. It's 1 John, so we must do that. So first, the very first point, there is an anointing. There is an anointing. Verse 20, it says very clearly, but you have an anointing. Anointing, that word there meaning anointing, obviously, or unction, often used in referring to also the anointing with oil, we see often in the Old Testament, or even of Jesus Christ Himself in the New. And this anointing, it says, is from the Holy One. Most likely they're referring to Jesus Christ, though it could be used more generally of God Himself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the passage lends itself to referring to Christ there, the Holy One. For you have that contrast between the Antichrist, Antichrist, and Christ Himself. Jesus Himself is referred to as the Holy One, even the man with the unclean spirit in Mark 1. the man who was, at least at the time, an antichrist. It says, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It's certainly true that in this passage that this anointing, this unction, is from Christ who is Himself as Christ, the Anointed One. That's what Christ means, Anointed One. You look back in the passage, there is great significance in the anointing that is from Christ. Antichrists have appeared. There is great significance there. These are the last days. The millennium, the tribulation, when things are getting, it seems, worse and worse, and there is greater and greater opposition to Christ and His people, and therefore many antichrists have come. These antichrists are antagonists to Christ. They oppose Christ. The antichrists are spoken of as opposing Jesus and His people. But then you, Christian, are spoken of. You have an anointing from Jesus. The anointing which Jesus Himself received. He communicates that to you, consecrating you to be holy ones as He is the Holy One. And thus it could be said of you that you are joint Christs. Not antichrist, but joint Christ. Christ means, again, anointed one. You are joint Christ with Him, while they are antichrists. In another sense, you could say that Christians are anointed from Jesus, and they are not anointed of Jesus. You have an unction from Jesus as the Holy One, making you holy as He is holy. Of course, such holiness means here consecration. You've been set apart for a holy purpose. Just as Jesus was set apart for a holy purpose when He came to the earth. It's what the Lord speaks of when He prays to the Father in John 17. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the unction, the anointing, which you have from the Holy One, from Him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world. And this anointing is with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the, what we might call, the anointing oil. Christ sheds forth upon you, and in the very same presence, power, influence of the Holy Spirit, that what was shed forth upon and in Himself, and His own consecration, His own anointing. In Jesus' case, that anointing was real, sensible, and manifest. If we have it from Him, it must be ours also. That our anointing is real, sensible, and manifest, for we are in union with Christ. It was in Him and to Him the seal of His acceptance and the witness of His sonship. Because the Father proclaimed, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit then descended upon Him, upon Jesus, like a dove. That was His anointing. There after His baptism. We have acceptance in the Son. And we have adoption as sons. And the anointing which we have from Him is our being sealed as justified ones. Through the Holy Spirit who's been poured out upon our hearts and into our hearts. Romans 8 says, you've received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so there we come. We come to the what we might call the second evidence or proof of salvation or reason to have assurance. We've looked often at the third one that was based upon fruit. How do we know that we have assurance? Because of the fruit that's produced in us. We love God. We love the brethren. We don't love the world. There's fruit. The first evidence that you have salvation, the reason you should have assurance of salvation is because you believe the promises. Or because of the promises. The second now is Does the Holy Spirit testify with your spirit that you are a Christian? And some of you may wonder what that means. What does it mean that the Spirit testifies with our spirit? How am I to tell if the Holy Spirit testifies with my spirit? Well, let's look at what it means in Christ. In Jesus, this anointing was, on the one hand, His having always the Holy Spirit helping Him, comforting Him, strengthening Him, imparting to Him amid His trials and bad circumstances such clear communication to His Father, clear assurances of the Father's love for Him and His Father's nearness to Him, as that which His soul never departed, even at the point of death and death on a cross. We're speaking of His human nature here. The Spirit in Christ to keep Him in that human nature, always trusting His Father. And so the anointing which we have from Christ as the Holy One is our being in the same way, upheld by the Holy Spirit in all of our life. Our being enabled, therefore, to show the humility and gentleness of Christ, are manifesting that we have the same mind in us, which is also in Him. And so this anointing was Christ's constant and abiding apprehension and realization of the Spirit, moving Him to do the will of the Father who sent Him. So do you have the realization of the Spirit moving you to do the will of God, moving you unto righteousness, moving you to hate sin, moving you to love God, moving you to love God's people? The anointing we have from Him is our feeling and owning the inward call of the Holy Spirit, which moves us in our lives to give ourselves that same life and work that always occupied Jesus, to carry out the great design of His coming into the world and that is that His people would be saved, to be the Father's completely without reservation. Is that what owns you? Is that feeling in you that you want to see those of the world saved from hell and damnation, from their sin? If it is, then you have that Spirit testifying, the Holy Spirit testifying with your spirit. And so all that is shown to be in Christ's anointing, we are to realize is true in ourselves, in our own anointing from the Holy One. Therefore, we can say we are Christ's, not possessive Christ, but we are Christ's, as He is the Christ. We are anointed ones, as He is the anointed ones. It's a different way to say we are Christ. We are anointed ones. The Lord's anointed, the Lord's Christ's, in somewhat of the same sense in which He also is. And in that way, we share His anointing. We have an anointing from the Holy One. There is an anointing for the believer. Secondly, as those who are anointed, it says of us true believers that you, plural, you know all things. And so the second point is there is a knowing. There is a knowing. This does not mean that you are omniscient or know all things, literally know all things or eternally and infinitely. Rather, full and complete knowledge of the matter at hand that's being talked about here, as opposed to knowledge that is partial. The question is between Christ and the Antichrist, between the truth of Christ and the lie of the Antichrist. The lie is the denial of Jesus as the Christ, and therefore denial of Him as the Son, involving necessarily a denial of the Father, as we learned in John's Gospel. But we know the truth. That is, we know all things about this. The whole truth concerning Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the Father, and all its relations to His divine character and counsels, as well as to human experience. We know this. It might be said of us, we've mastered it. More clearly, it has mastered us in the Gospel. We know all things concerning the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We look at this great fact and all its glory, that we have a righteous and sovereign Lord of all who secures free and full salvation to the worst and guiltiest of His creatures, if they would but own His sovereignty and submit to Him in all things through the Scriptures, which is the Word of God. We know all things. all the principles of God's sovereignty and lordship, all the attributes of His nature, all the features of His character. We also know all the miseries and necessities of man's lost state. And so we know the plan of mercy by God, the showering of His grace upon the people of God, the method of redemption and salvation. We know it because it's in Scripture. We know all things because of the Scriptures. And God has shined a light into our hearts that we would be able to see and hear the Scriptures with ears that are open and not closed off, and hearts open which are not hard. And this we might call also the perspicuity of the Scriptures. All things necessary for one to be saved are clearly shown in the Scriptures. That's the perspicuity of the Scriptures. And knowing all things, we know only in part. All things we know only dimly and faintly. We know none of them fully as we hope to know them one day, and yet about Christ and what it is to be a follower of Christ, we know nonetheless. Paul says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Yet these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God," in that anointing, "that we might understand the things freely given us by God." And here John says, we do understand these things. We know all these things. The deep things of God, the things freely given to us of God, because of the anointing which is from the Holy One. And so there is a knowing of all things, not fully, but faintly. And then third point, so we actually go back to the point of the passage. There is security. That's the third point. There is security. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And so in trying circumstances, you have security. You must see it as a security, which is grand and firm. You see verse 19, "They," Antichrist, "went out from us." That means that they were not really of us. And so they are Antichrist, for they, if they are not of us, and therefore of Christ and of the Spirit, they are against us. They're against Christ. They're against the Spirit. They're against God. As they are opposed to Christ, they are Antichrists. But now the question for us, for you, will you go out from us? Will you go out from the church? Not will you leave here today. But will you go out from the church, leaving the church altogether, the people of God who are the saints in Christ? Will you go out from us, as it speaks of here in verse 19? Will you go out who share the very anointing and the very knowledge which the Holy One Himself has? Will you go out? If you've been anointed by God and you know all things? Isn't that your preservative against all error and apostasy? Verse 20, that you are anointed by the Holy One and you know all things. Isn't your being anointed and your knowledge of all things that which preserves you? Isn't it a sufficient preservative, the gospel and the Holy Spirit? If you have the anointing, to whom will you go out? Now you have the gospel and the Spirit. The Holy One has the words of eternal life, and you believe and are sure that He is the Christ, if and truly you do, the Son of the living God, because you know all things, and you are therefore joint heirs with Him. So then what do you have with idols anymore? That is the things of the world, loving the world, and the things of the world. What do you have with the lies and doctrines of Satan to which you may be tempted to give up the church to go to, or give up Christ to go to? What do you have with those who would try new methods and new devices, things of seeming light, which actually come from the angel of light, Satan? And what do you have with what some might call mysticism or new rationalism, greater logic, or new things about the sacraments or sentimentalism, all by which men would seek to be wiser than God and holier than God and better than God? you have found Christ, or whom Christ, maybe a better way to say, Christ, whom Christ has found, you who have the same anointing that Christ has, you who taste and see how good his Father is and your Father is, loving you even as he loves Christ, will you go away from his church? Will you go away from his people, the visible church throughout the world? Surely not. If you have been anointed and if you know all things, much education or best education, great understanding, the intelligence of any age where there is a high mental culture or social improvement like we have in our day, great zeal, much study, patient searching the heart and all things that the heart longs for, great feeling, self-sacrifice, humility. These are not effectual safeguards. And these is not security to rest. No security is to rest in these things. Because at any time when your mind is stirred, your conscience moved by many other things of this world carried along, these will only make you more susceptible to influences and more open to suggestions, carrying you away from the flock and the family of God. Trusting in these things, just like Israel trusted in the weapons and the wall and the water. These things will just carry you away from the flock and family of God, driving you off to a wandering state in search of rest and revival or of peace and perfection, unending pursuit of satisfaction. At such a time in verse 18, we know that it is the last hour, of which you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is coming. Even now, when many Antichrists have appeared, in which we know that it is the last hour, when too many who seem to be from us, of us, as all as serious and as safe as ourselves, we consider ourselves to be, and they perhaps thought the same thing of themselves. They are going out from us. Little children, John says, see that you have indeed the anointing of the Holy One, or from the Holy One. And see indeed that you know all things, know the gospel and the scriptures. Be very sure that no ignorance, no emptiness, no part of you, no hesitating belief, no doubting faith will stand in the midst of such peril as those who seemed to be of us, but are going out from us. You see, they are not really of us, because if they were really of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. Nothing will stand, but those of you who find yourselves in the Messiah, in the Christ. Do you have an anointing from the Anointed One? Do you know all things of the gospel, though maybe faintly? Little children, John is saying, yes, there are those who go out from the church, but those who remain, those who have the Spirit, those who have Christ and are in Christ, you remain. You will remain. And so be secure now. Do not fret. Do not worry over the Antichrist or many Antichrists of today, because not even they can carry you off from God and his people, from Christ and the church of God. Rather, you are to be secure in your salvation. And that is John's message. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you and thank you not only for John's message, but this is the Lord's message through John, to remind us that we do have eternal life. And yet for those who are being tempted through sin, through any other things of this world, to go out from the church, to leave the church, or cause them to heed this warning, that if they go out, they are not really of the church. There are many in the world who are trying to say they don't need the church, but they love Christ. And yet that is not possible. They need the church because of Christ. as it shows here in this passage, those who go out from the church are those who are not Christ, those who are not anointed, those who are not knowing all things of the gospel. They don't understand. They don't grasp it. The light has not been shown into their hearts. And so, Lord, we ask that you would reveal such to them, that they would grasp the gospel and the need to be with God's people, though we be sinners, and though we are not perfect, and we often are hypocritical, and yet we acknowledge that. We acknowledge our sin. At the same time, we acknowledge the need to be righteous and perfect and holy before your throne. And Lord, you have enabled us to be this in Christ Jesus. And you are sanctifying us and cleansing us from sin. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give this great warning to those who are tempted to turn away from you and your people, to turn back to you and to your people, to your church, and to come into the church and align themselves with your people. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us who are your people, those who have been anointed, those who know all things. Lord, give us security. Give us comfort. Give us assurance of our salvation, and yet not to the point where we become comfortable with our sin and make your grace to become a cheap grace, where we do not pursue sanctification and holiness, as happens often in this world and in the church. Father, forgive us where we have failed in these things, and turn us back to your Son and to your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, and we'll sing hymn number 47 to a different tune. Hymn number 47. Stand and sing.
Place in thy fear to worship. worship there. Lead me in thy righteousness. Let my foes assail in vain. Lest my feet be turned aside. Make thy way before me plain. False and faithless are my foes. In their mouth no truth is found. Deadly are the words they speak. All their thoughts with sin abound. Bring, O God, their plans to naught. Hold them guilty in thy sight. For against thee and thy law they have set themselves to fight. O let all that trust thy care ever glad and joyful be. Let them joy who love thy name. Safely guarded, Lord, by thee. For a blessing from thy store. To the righteous thou wilt yield. Thou wilt compass him about with thy favor as a shield. Amen.
Receive the benediction from God. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you.
Father, we pray before this Lord's Day. Thank you for worship and how you bring us together as your people. Ask now as we study the doctrine of the divine industry, that you help us, such as we study the Ten Commandments. Bless your people.